Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 16 through 20. And listen, saints of God, I've entitled this evening's message, "The Enemy Will Hinder You." The enemy will hinder you. So please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, once again, did you bring your Bibles? Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 16 through 20. And once again, I've entitled this evening's message, "The Enemy Will Hinder You." So are we ready? Let's go. And the Word of God reads, "Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire." Verse 18 through 20. "Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, this teaching basically is going to let us know further on how old Slewfoot, old Satan, could be a hindrance for those who are walking and striving and to honor the call in their life by the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So let's take these verses and let's expound on them. This is an expository teaching. We love book by book, line by line, precept upon precept. Amen. And so let's go there right now. Let's go to the first verse and verse 16. Look at this. "Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." Praise God, praise God. See, saints of God, the Jews' natural animosity against Gentiles extended to fearing that some might even be saved. As the people who should have been recognized that the Messiah had welcomed all who would come to the one and true God, the Jewish leaders at that time had failed miserably. And they actually feared that others might find salvation. Oh, yes. Why? Because they thought that the movement of the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Ghost was poured out and the apostles were now on their assignment, they thought they were a cult. They thought that, what is this false Messiah teaching? Little did they know that the disciples and the apostles were anointed by God and they were filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, my friends, the inevitable consequence of this attitude would be the anger to the Most High God. And likely Paul was using language conveying the dramatic present day and time. And even as we are reading, let me just say this. Nothing will thwart the plan of God. If God has called you, He will raise you up. He will put a shield and buckler around you. He will anoint your lips. He will empower you. He will give you the unction, hallelujah, to proclaim, to prophesy, to lay hands on the sick, to watch them recover. God wants to use you just like He used the apostles, but there is an order to it, my gosh. And yes, we need to understand the things of God. We need to operate in order, hallelujah. We need to do it correctly. And that's why we need to be in God's Word, to understand the things of God. Can I get an amen? And so during that time, it was very dangerous for them, especially when you had the Judaizers. Then you had the Romans, you had the Ephesians, you had the Thessalonica, those from Thessalonica. Matt, let me just say this. There were so many enemies, but who was behind the whole movement to come against the people of God? Is Satan himself. Oh, that's right. And he hindered them. And we're going to look at this. And let me just say this. God needs to give you spiritual ears and spiritual eyes to know when the enemy is hindering you. Praise God. Praise God. We serve a mighty God. And so Paul was talking about the future as though it had already happened, because their continual rejection of Jesus as the Messiah and the persecution of his followers, the Jews, were not only piling up their guilt, they were hardening their hearts to the point of no return. Look how Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews. Let's go there right now. And let's understand this further right now, saints of God. Let's go there to Hebrews chapter 3, 1 through 15. Look what Paul wrote. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, who is Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him, who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all of his house. Look at this in verse 3. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. You got to keep that in mind, saints of God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. Verse 6, look at this. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. Therefore, say this with me at home, saints of God, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. Paul refers to the rebellion as those when they rejected God way back when they were in the wilderness. They murmured and complained. They weren't allowed to go into the promised land. God allowed them to go around in circles for 40 years. That's right. Why? Because they murmured and complained. Listen, saints of God, let me just pause right here. There are things that God has allowed you to go through right now. But I cannot murmur and complain. Can I get amen? We must go through whatever the challenge is, whatever the task is, whatever the call is, whatever the affliction that may be upon you, whatever turmoil you're facing, you must go through. You must walk in faith and not by sight, and put a shield of God's armor on, the helmet of salvation. That's right. The sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, your loins girded up with truth, and your feet shod prepared, hallelujah, to take the gospel where it needs to go. Listen, my friends, God understands your situation. God understands what you're going through. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. God wants you to move forward, not backwards. Oh, slewfoot, Satan is going to try to hinder you. We're going to see here in just a few minutes how Satan came against Paul and Silas. That's right. Why? They wanted to come to Thessalonica and rejoice with all the new believers, but they were hindered. And many of us can be hindered in the call in our life. And so this is why God is saying, open your spiritual ears and your spiritual eyes to see the Lord, to hear from the Lord, and to move when He says move. When He says hold, wait a minute, stop. Before He gives you a word to release, pray about it. Why? Because sometimes our words can be offensive to people. We have to have true discernment. Can I get an amen in the house? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back to Hebrews right here. Look at this. And it says right here, but as Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, in the day of the trial of the wilderness. Verse 9, where your fathers tested me. Look at this. They tested God all the time. Are you testing God right now? Please, continue to read this. Look at this. Where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest. Let me pause right there. And God was true to His word. He didn't allow them to enter in. Why? Because God wants you to walk in faith. He wanted them to trust. Listen, He delivered them from the hands and the tyranny of Pharaoh. For 400 years, they were beaten. They bled. There was not a day off. And many of them died in the mud pits. And they were always crying for the deliverer. God raised up Moses to deliver them. And then when they thought they got away, they came and were cornered at a sea called the Red Sea. And again, they didn't trust God. And Moses had to raise up his staff and parted the Red Sea. And they went through dry land across the ocean. And then when the Egyptians chased them, in the middle of that ocean, God allowed, after the Israelites came across safe, He allowed the waters to come back together and destroyed all the Israelites. And then they were in the wilderness and they were crying out for food. So God allowed Moses to send a whole bunch of quails. And they had so much quail meat, they got sick. Because they were tired of the fresh manna that God fed them from heaven. That was the bread of heaven. And then they came to a place where they had run out of water. And they were complaining, oh, Moses, you brought us here to die. And so Moses had to take his rod and hit the rock. And millions of them were watered through the rock that allowed water to seep through. God did so many miracles for them. And yet, they murmured and complained. And they never got in the promised land. Wow! My friends, let's read the rest of this story. Look at this. Verse 11. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Look at this. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you in an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. My friends, how many of you know right now people that have backslidden, they walked away from the faith? God is saying, beware, beware. Let them know that there is, hallelujah, hallelujah, a wrath. God's going to pour out His wrath one day, and we cannot be out there in the world. Can I get amen? Look at this, saints of God. Departing, look at this, from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Wow, look at that. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. We just read that. Precept upon precept. God reminds us throughout the scripture. Praise God. Look at this. Friends, let me just say this. If God has called you, you must with endurance, suffer many things. We're going to suffer affliction. We're going to suffer setbacks. We're going to suffer financial setbacks. Many things will cause us to slow down or to come to a screeching halt. But I'm here to let you know, if God be for you, who could be against you? That's right. That's right. The God that lives in us is greater than the enemy that's in the world. Don't let these temporary things stop you from fulfilling the call in your life. You see, saints of God, these must have been difficult words for Paul, a Jew from his birth, to write about his countrymen. In another letter, Paul wrote, "The longing of my heart and my prayer to God is that the Jewish people might be saved." He cried out. Why? Because they were the rebellion. It was always them that rejected the truth. Look what it says right here in the book of Romans right here. Look at this. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God," look at this, "to God for Israel is that they may be saved." That they may be saved. Is your heart cry for your friends and family members any different, saints of God? We need to cry out for our loved ones. We need to cry out, say, "Mercy, mercy, God, have mercy. Give them a mind to be saved. Give them a heart to repent. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Help us, God." And I truly believe with a sincere and a sold-out life to Christ, God will hear your cry. He inclines his ear to the righteous. Oh, that's right. But he does not to the sinner. My goodness, my goodness. We serve a mighty God. Can I get an amen, saints of God? So Paul understood that the Jews were God's chosen people and that many of them would come to salvation in Christ. He also knew, however, that many would flatly reject the truth. And this pained him greatly. And so let's move on now to verse 17 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire." With great desire. This was the heart of Paul. This was the heart of Silas and many of the disciples that came. Oh, that's right. You see, saints, the word "separated" can also be translated "torn away." In addition, while physically separated, the apostles kept the believers in their hearts. They had tried hard to come back and had an intense longing to be back in Thessalonica with the believers. For from being afraid to return, Paul and Silas wanted to go back to Thessalonica. Let's look at God's word right here in Hebrews. Look at that. "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." This is the love that they had for Thessalonica. This is the love that we should have for one another, saints of God. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. Listen, saints, ever since COVID, there's been a lack of attendance throughout the land. For some reason, some have just forsaken the assemblies of themselves. But I want to encourage you. If you're listening or you're watching and you are part of a fellowship, go back. Go back. Pick up where you left off. That's right. Don't let the enemy dupe you. Don't let the enemy hinder you through this pandemic. I believe this pandemic was sent by old Slewfoot. And as God allowed it to take place, yes, there was a shaking of the tree. But I'm here to let you know, if you have a sincere yearning to live for Christ, to love God, and to continue your call, go back to your fellowship wherever you were. Go back and do the things that God has called you to do. Go back to your first love, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and then go back and do good works for Him. Some of you were school teachers. Some of you were ushers and greeters. Some of you were in leadership, and you just said, "I've done my time. It's over." Saints of God, don't throw in the towel yet. God has much more for you. Amen. Let's look at this right here in Psalms. Psalms 33, 1 through 3. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. Praise God. Praise God. Did you catch that? Did you catch that, saints of God? That's right. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in the unity. There's no better moment. There's no better feeling that we would come together and just bring the anointing with us, and then the whole place is filled with God's presence. Praise God. Let's move on to verse 18 now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but Satan hindered us. Did you catch that, saints of God? Did you catch that? Oh, yes. Old Slewfoot is always at work. You see, saints, Paul and Silas could not return to Thessalonica because Satan prevented them. And what exactly blocked Paul and Silas from returning to Thessalonica? Was it opposition? Was it illness? Travel complications? Or possibly a direct attack? But it is unknown. It's not clearly written in the Word of God. But somehow, Satan had been able to keep them away more than once. You see, my friends, spiritual warfare is real. How many believe spiritual warfare is real? That's right. Satan is constantly at war with God's people. Satan actively works to keep people from accepting Christ. Oh, that's right. He also works to hinder God's people from advancing God's kingdom. Oh, yes, that's how he rolls. Some of the difficulties that prevent believers from accomplishing God's work can be attributed to old Slewfoot, to Satan. Oh, that's right. While God is more powerful, though, than old Slewfoot, and sometimes intervenes on our behalf and overrides whatever Satan has put upon you, he does not always do so. Sometimes God just allows you to go through to see how you will trust him, how you will trust the Lord. Oh, that's right. Sometimes God uses old Slewfoot. I know one thing for a fact. Before I got saved, God used Slewfoot to tear up my life, to get me to hate the things that I was doing because they were an offense to God. And Jesus brought me to a place of repentance. So God will use. He'll use the culture. He'll use Slewfoot, Satan, to bring you to a place to cry out to God. Because God is so much more powerful. That's right. Oh, that's right. And so therefore, Christians, we must be vigilant and faithful to Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? Oh, that's right. We must. Look at this for a moment right up here in Ephesians 6:12. For we do not what? Wrestle against flesh and blood, but rather principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Wow. Oh, that's right, saints of God. That's right. Now listen, I want you to see this for a moment. Our prayers can be hindered by Satan. Oh, that's right. Listen. Remember when Daniel was praying? His prayers went to God right away. But the answered prayer was blocked by the prince of Persia. And there was a war. There's wars in heaven, in the heavenly places. And so we must be steadfast. We must wait upon the Lord. Let's not do anything rationally or foolishly. I know many of you have been praying for certain situations of your life, and you maybe not gotten a word from God just yet. Hold on. Wait. Because sometimes your answer is hindered. Oh, that's right. That's right. It could be hindered, my friends. That's right. Listen, I want you to see something that I just mentioned regarding the book of Daniel. Look at this. Just then a hand, this is in the New Living Translation, Daniel 10:10 through 14. I want you to catch this so that you won't give up in your prayer life and wait for the Lord. Wait for his answers. Look at this. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. Let me just say this. Those of you watching right now, you are very precious to God. You got to believe you are precious to God. No different than Daniel. Can I get amen? Let's go back and read this. You are precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Look at this. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. Look at this. But for 21 days, the spirit, prince of the kingdom of Persia, blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I left him there with the spirit, prince of the kingdom of Persia, old Slewfoot himself. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future. Why? For this vision concerns a time yet to come. So, that's the perfect example to wait upon the Lord. Because sometimes we cry out and we want immediate results. But we just read that God heard Daniel the first time, and yet his prayers were hindered by old Slewfoot himself. And so we must wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Wait with great expectation, because God's not going to let us down. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that lives in us than he that's in the world. God will put a shield and buckler. God will defend us. God will go before us. God will strengthen you. God will lift up your head. Hallelujah, when it's hung low. Oh, that's right. God will be the one to strengthen your spiritual man. Hallelujah, in the time of your need, in the time of my need. So hold on. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Look at this. Satan will bring sexual temptation on those who lack self-control. Oh, yes. We're going to look at the devices of what the old Slewfoot does. Look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. And found in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7:5. Look at this. Do not deprive one another except consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and praying, and then come together to so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And this is especially for those who are married. The longer you stay away from one another, temptation will come. So I want to encourage those marriages that are going through. Yes, there is a time to fast and pray, but don't stay away too long, because the enemy will come in like a flood. Can I get an amen? Now, let's move on here. Look at this. Let's look at this. The enemy will attempt to cause division among believers. What? Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Look at this right here. We're going to find this right here in 2 Corinthians 2:10. Look at this. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not what? Ignorant of his devices. Well, that's right. Old Slewfoot wants to get in and pit you against another brother and a sister, especially in the household of faith. But see, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're walking in the joy of the Lord, if you're walking according to the ways of God, God will have equipped you to discern what is God, what is of God, and what is of old Slewfoot. And let me just say this. If you lay hands on someone and tear them down in a word you give, that's not of God. That's not of God. What is of God is to build someone's life, despite of what they're going through, is to encourage them, to encourage them. It's about life building character, people's character. That's what God, that's what concerns God, is their character, that they would walk in the ways of the Lord. And all we are to do is strengthen them, encourage them, pray for them. Don't give them a false word. You give them a false word, God will deal with you. He'll deal with you harshly. Do not scatter God's sheep. Can I get an amen? Let's move on now. Let's move on. Let's go here. We're going to go now to this other strategy point. Satan will bring in false teaching to lead believers astray. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. He'll bring in all kinds. Look at this. Look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 through 4. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Wow. Wow. In other words, saints of God, God will give you true discernment. If you're walking in the Spirit, and if you're walking in a heart of obedience, and you're in His Word, you will know the true versus the counterfeit. Do you know that Walmart teaches their cashiers not to look at other counterfeit dollar bills? Because they all look similar, but there's something different. They study the real one. All they say is, just study the real one. And when that false one comes, you'll see it. And that's why we need to be students of the Word. This is why we need to be in service Wednesdays and men and women's Bible study and Sunday mornings. Why? We need to be men and women of the Word. Yes, the power and the Holy Spirit is the enabling force that allows us to continue, that allows us to give us desires for Him. But ultimately, is my people perish for lack of knowledge. And knowledge comes from the Word of God. And so once you get the knowledge of the Word of God in, oh, guess what? Now you're armed to the till. Now when Satan comes, ha, I know old Slewfoot now. You'll know his tricks. You'll know his maneuvers. That's right. A good army will study the enemy and know which direction he will come. And one of the places that old Slewfoot wants to attack you in is in your mind. The Bible says the battlefield is in the mind. Oh, that's right. So let's move on to this now. Satan can even disguise himself as an angel of light. Oh, that's right. You got to remember, I brought a teaching a couple of weeks ago that old Slewfoot doesn't look like the mascot at Sweetwater High School. You know, the horns, the red, the tail, and the pitchfork. No, he comes as an angel of light. He comes in beautiful ways. When he appeared in the garden, they were enamored. Eve was enamored. We all think that he came as a little garden snake. No. Ezekiel describes his brilliance and the way he spoke. It memorized. And that's what sin does. That's what old Slewfoot does. He'll deceive even the elect. So that's why we have to guard our heart. Can I get amen? Look at this right here, saints of God. Found in 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such are false apostles and deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Let me just pause there. Be careful when someone says, I'm apostle so-and-so. Well, really? Did Jesus lay hands and ordain you? Or did you pull your certificate from the internet? Huh? Oh, come on. There's so many apostle this, apostle that. And a lot of those, if you listen to them carefully, they are in total error and all they want is your money. Oh, that's right. It's all about money when it comes to these kind of characters. Look at this. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if he ministers all... Look at this. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their what? To their works. Wow. Wow. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Especially if they leave out in their sermons and their teachings when you're under their tutorship, if they fail to say repent. Repent of your sins. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because many of them are in sin, as we're reading right here. And they will not tell you to repent. Why? Because it brings conviction on them to repent. So saints, while God is more powerful than Satan and sometimes intervenes and overrides, He does not always do so. Therefore, Christians must be vigilant and faithful to Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? Let's move on to verse 19. We have a couple of scriptures to break down and then we're through. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? That's a good question, isn't it? Two questions right there. Praise God, praise God. Saints, with overflowing love for this young church, Paul asked a question and then answered it himself. What was the hope, joy, or crown in which Paul and Silas would have much joy? It would be the Thessalonian believers themselves. Why? Because they sowed into their life. They preached the gospel. And the anointing of God saved many of them. And Paul and Silas were rejoicing from afar that this church started to thrive in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, my friends, the word hope describes Paul's confidence in these believers. The word joy pictures his own inner feelings when he imagined that when they were presented to the Lord, it welcomed in the kingdom of God. And so the crown pictures a victor's wreath. The believers were like a victory crown, giving Paul joy in having the race that they started out. They were running well, hallelujah, for the sake of God. Praise God. Look at this right here. Paul also wrote this in 1 Corinthians 9:25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, like we just saw the Olympics just now. But we for an imperishable crown. Look at this. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become what? Disqualified. Wow. Wow, saints of God. What Paul's saying here, those who minister, those who teach and preach, you need to live it too. I need to live it too. Can I get amen? We think, oh, it's just for the hearer. No, it's also for the one who is speaking it. That's right. We're all accountable. Can I get amen? Let's look what it says right here in Philippians 4 and 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Stand fast. Stand fast. Stand fast. My friends, let me just say this. Whatever you're going through right now, stand fast. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Believe God. Believe God. Love God. That's right. Believe all things. Hope all things. Endure all things. Why? Because God is with us. God is with us. And our last verse of scripture this evening is, for you are our glory and joy. Glory and joy. Saints of God, one day all of us will stand before the Lord Jesus. And when He comes back again, and God will judge us on our agenda, your agenda, our actions, our motives, and especially how we treated each other, the other saints of God. We need to be careful. We need to be careful how we treat one another. We are to treat one another with love and to build them up and never to judge them. Can I get amen? And if we say foolish things, go to that person and ask for forgiveness and say, I shouldn't have said that. That's right. And then resolve it and move on. Move on. It's time to move on. We don't have time to wallow in the mire. Dust yourself off, rinse yourself off, and now move forward in Christ. You see, my friends, Paul and all those who came with him to Thessalonica saw the glory of God in God's church. And so I'm here to let you know that Jesus soon and very soon is about to appear. Listen, look what's going on in our woke culture. Everything has changed. It's not the Leave It to Beaver days no more. It's not about Father's knows best. And for some of you, that probably went right over your head. But it's no longer a fun and happy place in our nation. It's so violent. It's so immoral. It's politically corrupt. There's violence. There's murder. There's chaos. There's incompetence. We're seeing the signs. Remember, I've said this so many times. It's not about the timeline. It's about the sign line. And we're seeing the signs that Jesus said that would happen before his return. I'm praying that you are preparing your heart to meet the King. It's time now. It's time to shake off the dust. It's time to be the church and not play church. It's time, my friends, to walk in the call and walk in the anointing of God. I don't know how long God gives ministries and ministers and pastors and teachers to continue to teach and preach. Some God has given them many years. Some God has given them medium years. And for some, they have a short-lived ministry and then that's it. But I'm here to let you know, God will place someone in your life for such a time as this that you would hear the proclamation of the gospel and you would understand the providence of God. And you would understand that whoever God places in your life, it's because God placed them for your life. That you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so very thankful for those who attend Amazing Grace. I like to call the ministry of Amazing Grace as watchmen. There's women that watch. There's men that watch. We're called watchmen on the wall, seeing the impending danger and letting the saints of God to know what's coming, what's before us, what God is saying in the days that we live in for such a time as this. So Jesus is coming soon, and I hope your life is ready. I hope your life is ready, because when he comes, he's going to come in the clouds and he's going to take us home. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to the Thessalonica. We're going to read this a little later, but look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who what? Sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven and with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall what? Be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's right. Comfort one another. Listen. God's about ready to do the greatest event in world history. Oh, that's right. He's going to come for his bride. And he's going to take us home. But we cannot go in these bodies of flesh. These bodies of flesh, I'm sorry, but we are on this earth because of the law of gravity. We cannot float away. We cannot go into the heavens in this flesh. So something radical has to happen. And Paul wrote it down and explained what will happen when Jesus comes in the clouds and the angels will blast the shofar, which is the last trump. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Look at this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. There it is. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Man, that's going to be a time of rejoicing forevermore. We will be changed and we will be like Him. But my question for those of you that are listening right now, that are watching, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you never repented, you never acknowledged that Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life, you never confessed your sins to Him, you've never been washed in His blood, you've never been filled with His Holy Spirit, well, there's great news for you. There is a way. And the way is through Christ, who hung on the cross for you and I. But my friends, if you're waiting and waiting and waiting, thinking that my life, I'm going to change my life, you're going to wait until this incident happens. And you don't want this to happen, because nobody wants to be left behind. Let's look at this right here.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
That's a great question, isn't it? Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, you can be. All you have to do is follow the instructions of the Bible. God lays it out in His scriptures for you and I, for mankind. And it's found right here. Look at this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Praise God. Praise God. How many so blessed? How many so blessed to know that, saints of God? You got to be blessed to know that if God be for you, who could be against you? And so those of you that are watching that have never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, listen. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching. I'm going to ask them to pray with me for you, and that you would give your life to the Lord Jesus by faith. And watch Him do the miraculous in your life. And so, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. Listen, someone just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, we are rejoicing with you. Listen, down below is our website. Log on. You'll find our phone number and our email. Reach out to us. Let us know you've given your heart to Christ, and let us pray for you. We want to give you a Bible in your hands. We want to point you to a good church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. Thank you, God. We want to be in touch with you. And listen, I just want to say this, that all of the Amazing Grace family who has been supporting this ministry, we are so blessed because of your faithfulness, because of your giving of your time, your giving of your monetary gifts. We are so mighty thankful and we are so blessed. And down below, for those of you who have never given to the ministry, I encourage you to do so. And God will continue to bless your hands of giving, for donations are deeply appreciated. And so it's time now to sign off. I want to thank and praise God for the family of God that logged in this evening. I hope you were blessed with the Word of God. I hope that 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 through 20 was a blessing to you, and that you were built up in your faith, and know that God is with you. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to leave you this benediction, and I can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10:30, live in-person service at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, we love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.